great to see you guys this morning, and I am glad that you're all here to worship the Lord with us today. It's a very special day. It's Mother's Day, and we've got a lot to be thankful for, because if it wasn't for good old Mom, we wouldn't be here. And if it wasn't for good old Mom, we probably wouldn't have half the scars inside and outside that we have. But most of all, it's a great day in which we can get together and worship the Lord and be thankful for all that we do have. So just a couple reminders, be praying for the people in the church, and pray for the church as we get ready to go through a big transition coming up. Also, continue to pray for those who are sick. Margie Mummer asked us to pray that her eyes get well enough so that she can be able to see, so she can pass her driver's test. So that'll work. But continue to pray for Libby Thulin. She's going through a lot right now, and just pray that everything gets in order so she can get her bone marrow transplant. At this time, Miss Ann is excited because she has an announcement for us as well.
Good morning. Years ago, someone asked me if I would lead kid stuff after Jane Racer left. I said no, thank you. Shortly after that, Jane asked me if I would lead kid stuff. Again, I said no, thank you. Then she asked me to pray about it. I agreed. I've noticed over the years when I'm praying and asking God for direction, He puts an image in my mind. So several times when I was praying about whether or not God wanted me to lead kid stuff, an image popped into my head. It was of a terrified little girl hiding in her closet as her parents fought, screaming and yelling, breaking things and each other. I came to the conclusion that leading kid stuff was the direction on which God was leading me, and I wanted kids to know that they are never alone, whether at school, riding a bike, sitting in church, or hiding in a closet. It would be another 12 years before that little girl would learn that she was never alone, that there was a God who loved her no matter what, and she could talk to Him anytime about anything. I'm very excited to announce that next Sunday, May 16th, in Sunday school, we are holding a May Pray Day for kindergarten through fifth grade. We'll be talking to kids about prayer, what it is, why we pray, how to pray, and we'll have some testimonies on how God answered prayer. We'll finish with a special craft to help kids remember how to pray. I've had these pillowcases printed up, and next week they're gonna decorate them, and then they can take them home and put them on their pillows, and that will help them to remember how to pray. So. We hope to have a good crowd, so please bring your kids and grandkids. We'd love it, too, if you would lift us up in prayer. Thank you.
That being said, let's go before the Lord in prayer before we start worship this morning. Father God, we thank You for all of Your provisions and for all that You do for us. And God, in a weird and crazy way, we thank You for the things that You don't do for us that we ask You to do. Like that weird song says, sometimes the greatest things in life are unanswered prayers. But Lord, we do know that You are always working and answering prayers that are on our best benefit, that are going to work out for us and lead us to where You want us to be. And Lord, this morning we want to come before You, and we want to be used by You and to enter into Your presence and worship so that we can see some amazing things happen. Lord, that You will be able to transform us and this church from the inside out to become the people that You want us to be. We know that that is to be just like Your Son, Jesus. But it's so hard. We fall so short. But You are the one who has said to us, come. Whether we come from broken homes or broken circumstances, You say, come to Me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to Me, and I will receive you. Come to Me, and I will love you with an everlasting love. Most of us still smell and act like the world, but You love us anyway. And we just ask that this morning as we worship You, that find ourselves being a little more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. A little more like him than we were this morning. And may we enter into your presence with thanksgiving and gladness in our hearts. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's your precious name we pray, and all God's people say. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we worship together. So don't stray from his presence. Don't stray from where he's at. Stick close, because he's always there for you.
Let us pray.
Instead of embracing him as being here with us. For you said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is here with us and among us. And yet, from time to time, we forget that. But one thing is for sure, God has and always will reign as God, creator of the universe. And his son will always be King of kings and Lord of lords. But the question will be, is will you let him be your king? Will you let him be your Lord? For that is where you become the person that he desires for you to be.
Thank you.
Friend of mine questions, God, how can you let this happen? How can you let men treat men the way they do? How can you let us destroy one another the way we do? And you let us have free will. And I asked him, would you want a slave or would you want someone to love you freely? You know, God gave us free will to know him and to love him and serve him if we choose. And the huge challenge for is to realize that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And that the only way that any one of us can have peace with God is by trusting in Jesus Christ. And that should be the goal of everything that we do, whether it's kids stuff or with the kids and youth and Awana and everything else, and we can get that back up and rolling strong. That is something that everyone should know, is that through Jesus, we can be saved.
You were without beginning, one with God, the Lord of Star.
Father God, we come before you, and we kneel before your throne, and we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other name under heaven by which we might be saved. A beautiful name, Jesus, Savior, Lord, Creator, Sustainer, Friend of sinners. And Lord, we love you this morning, and until the whole world bows before you, we will. You may be seated.
I'm still one of those weird eyes closed people when I pray. And so when I look up and everybody's gone off the stage before I get over here to the pulpit, it kind of freaks me out. I'm like, where'd everybody go? You know, today's Mother's Day, and it's always exciting to see moms gathering together and gathering their broods in, and everybody kind of just swarms into the church. And it's awesome because this is the final Mother's Day sermon I get to preach here. And some of you are a little nervous that I'm going to go with the old Proverbs 31 on the way out the door deal and like get everybody. But I don't like preaching that on Mother's Day, even though there's a lot of tremendous stuff in there that we can all learn and grow from, and we can all better ourselves and become more like that person and do amazing things just like she did. But I was thinking about another remarkable mother. A mother that, when the story starts getting told, we don't even get her name at the beginning. She's an amazing lady that had an incredible amount of faith. And it goes back a very long way in our story, back to when Israel had found itself in slavery for 350 years, Joseph had been forgotten. Israel or Jacob had been forgotten. The tribes were just slaves, and they were just a commodity of the Pharaoh. And even though nobody remembered the great things that God did through Joseph, they had all forgotten who Israel was. Everybody except for God. God had not forgotten them. He loved them and was about to change things forever. Now, they were in slavery for about 400 years, but here we are about year 350-ish, and God is getting ready to do something amazing. He was going to send them a leader who would lead them out of that slavery in Egypt to an incredible promised land. And the problem for them, it was going to take some time because they were going to face some obstacles. And it was going to start off really, really small. In Exodus chapter 2, if you're old school, pull out your Bibles. If you're new school, pull out your tablets, your phones, or check out the screen. Exodus chapter 2. Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Remember, I said we're going to start at the beginning of the story, and there it is, the very beginning for this mama. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch and placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I'm going to pay you." What a deal. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father God, you draw us all out of something. A gutter, a ditch, a bad habit, an addiction, failure, sin, whatever we call it. You draw us out and you make us your own. Like this little baby in a basket, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him as her own, and you adopt us all to be your sons and daughters. You call us your own. You love us like no other. So as we look at this mama in Scripture, I just pray that we would begin to see and emulate some of the things that she has become known for over time, and maybe see something new that we can see for ourselves, that we too can become an incredible person who loves you and knows you and serves you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. You know, it's kind of weird, if this woman was such a great woman and she was a great mama, why on earth did she throw her kid in a basket and pitch him into the river? Sometimes that doesn't make sense, and sometimes it's kind of unsettling. But you have to understand the backstory in this. You see, Pharaoh had a problem with his slaves. His slaves had become too numerous. He had a problem because they were overbreeding and they kept having children. That happens when you're in captivity, I guess. His slaves were overpopulating the area, and providing for them was becoming more and more difficult, and they were having a struggle because with more and more to feed and more to take care of, there was more and more of a growing chance that the slaves could overpower the Egyptians. And that began to be something difficult on Pharaoh's heart, because he knew that he was on the verge of losing control of everything he controlled. And so what he did is he told the Hebrew midwives, if the baby is born and it's a boy, kill it. But if it's a girl, you know, we're not afraid of girls. Obviously, they didn't know my mama. She had a blue brush, and that thing worked exceedingly well at keeping all eight of us in line. And I praised God. I didn't know who he was at the time, but when she broke that blue brush over one of my brothers, I was exceedingly happy. But then she found other things. So obviously he didn't understand the power of a woman. But here she was in a situation that she knew something was going to be difficult. But she was an incredible woman of faith. She came from the priestly family of the Levites. And what's interesting, I was thinking about this. Maybe she could be my brother-in-law's great, 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 great. I don't know how far you got to go back to get like several thousand greats ago. But she could be my brother-in-law's great, 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 super great grandma. And when I started looking at this, I didn't know her name. I hadn't researched that far. And so I just started calling her mama, and I thought that was good because, you know, you just call her mama. But her name was Jochebed, and I like mama better anyways. But what was interesting is this woman, being a woman of faith, had already had a pretty rough road to walk, and her faith grew from it. She had already probably been married. She had had at least one child. Somewhere in the ages of 13 to 18 years old, probably, because she was serving as a servant girl, a slave to Pharaoh's daughter. But something happened to her first husband. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he died, got squished while building pyramids. I don't know what happened, but something happened, and it says she got remarried. And for some crazy reason, she decided to have another child. She had to trust God through loss and found and to provide and sustain, just like many of us do. But she was a woman of faith, and she persisted. And the second thing we learn about this woman of faith, mama loved her baby boy. She carried that child not knowing if it was going to be a boy or a girl. See, that was long before ultrasounds and 3D imaging and everything else. She carried this child not knowing if it would be a boy or a girl, whether if the midwives were going to, quote unquote, have to kill him or save her. And she birthed him knowing Pharaoh's decree that if it was a boy, it would die. But when she had this beautiful baby boy, she fell in love. I read something in one place and I saw this little video on it and said the reason that babies have this weird effect on people, you notice that? There's nothing cuter to a mom than her baby. And they say that dads bond with their kids in that moment as well, because for some reason that kid can look a lot like the dad to them, and it's kind of like, ooh, and they become bonded in that. And even though the looks change over time, it's that moment in time where you just fall in love and you latch on and you hold on to that kid. But she latched on and she loved that baby boy. You know, she didn't name him Moses. Pharaoh's daughter did, but the incredible thing is God provided for her to take care of that baby boy. But the problem came up is, as we know, little kids become bigger kids, and it said she could hide him no more. And that brings us to a point in her story of where we realize Mama was willing to do whatever it took to protect and provide the best life possible for that little boy. And she knew time wasn't on her side, because when he was discovered, then there was going to be a problem. She kept him quiet for a while, but couldn't keep him quiet the whole time. And at great risk to herself and her family, she hid that baby boy and did all she could for him. But that moment came when she realized that some drastic steps needed to be taken to provide for him a future. And it's then that we realized that Mama was a risk taker, and she was willing to risk it all for that child. And it's such an elaborate and fantastic plan. It kind of makes you wonder, did they go down and did they practice? I mean, practice makes perfect, and it makes things work out. So did they practice, and did they take a trial run with the basket, and did they put something in there? They're like, he weighs about 15 pounds. Here's something 15 pounds in there. Grandpa's bowling ball. We're going to put that in there, and we're going to set it there, and hopefully we're going to check out the currents and see what happens. And just maybe, we can make this work. And here she was, willing to risk her child, because there were a lot of dangers involved. That little rescue boat could have capsized. The river currents are as predictable as Peter was, and they change and they get twisted by the wind, and different things could throw you off course. And the Nile has something else in it. It's about this big. Crocodiles. Think about that. In the reeds where crocodiles hid, they were going to place this baby boy. You know, there's a crocodile in the Nile River. He hasn't been seen in a while. But his name was Gustav. I don't know how he got such a weird German name, but Gustav, the crocodile, is 20 feet long. 20 feet. And over the course of his lifetime, they estimate that he has maimed or killed 300 people. That's crazy. Anne's back there squirming with her grandbaby on her lap going, that's a snack in Gustav's belly. But the reality is, that was what she was putting her little baby boy into, was that crocodile-infested, unpredictable river. Sounds like sending your kid off to college, doesn't it? But Mama was still willing to risk it all, because she knew she had to do something drastic to protect that baby at all costs, because he was special. And Mama was a woman who trusted God with everything that was important to her entire life. She always had and always would. Whether it be her life, her provision, her family, her daughter, who was Pharaoh's daughter's handmaid, and now her baby boy. Everything she held near and dear was in God's hand. She had seen him provide in times of loss when she lost her husband, and she had seen how she could find the courage to remarry. Her daughter had just happened to become the servant girl of the only woman who could influence Pharaoh enough to change his mind. She had carried a baby not knowing if it would be able to live or not. And she fell in love with her little bundle of joy when she saw what a fine child he was. She planned meticulously and trusted ultimately in the God who will provide. But it still took an incredible leap of faith and trust in God to take care of everything and place him in the river and walk away. And God did. God allowed everything just to fall in place and happen just like they had hoped. And they saw some amazing things. I love that the sister said, "Hey, you want me to go find some pregnant Hebrew chick that's going to be able to nurse your baby?" And she already knew who she was going to go home to and say, "Mama, guess what? Here he is." It worked. How incredible is that? Isn't it amazing to think that we worry about what's right in front of us, and God's got a plan to take care of everything in front of us? Not just right here, but the things we can't even see. We have to be faithful and trust him, just like Mama did. We have to draw courage and strength from the source that Mama did. Because he's the only place where we can. So where do you draw your strength? Do you draw it from your own abilities? Do you gather strength to live day to day because of the people that are around you? Family and friends who help prop you up and stand you up and keep you going? Maybe it's more what you know for sure. Maybe it's because you know what you're capable of. But you know what I found is if we live our lives always coming up to the edge of our capabilities, we never really live life trusting God. And that's huge. Because if you live your life trusting what you can accomplish and you never go over the edge trusting God to accomplish more with your life than you can, you are failing to live. Just being honest. Because you don't have to trust in the one who directs the sun and the moon and the stars, the wind and the rain and the waves. You know, it's kind of funny. I was coming into the church this morning and I'm driving and I saw this weird stuff in the fields. It was crazy. There were these little itty-bitty green lines going through the field. I was like, huh, corn's coming up. I guess Chris Fink did all right this year so far. He's got his field, that field's okay. This one over here is not looking so good, but this one's doing all right. He must know what he's doing. But you know what's interesting is we can spend so much of our time trusting in what we can accomplish that we can never accomplish greater things. He's got a big old tractor and a big old planter and big old toys to play in fields. He's no longer out there like probably his great-great-great-great-granddaddy with a horse and a little plow that he's pushing down through the field. Where did he learn that? Someone had to teach him. Someone had to take the risk and buy the 2-bottom, the 4-bottom, the 6-bottom, and the, I don't know, now they're up to like 62 bottoms, but whatever they are, sometimes you have to risk to do great things. And you sometimes have to risk it all. So I want you to think for a moment. What would be the top five biggest risks that you've taken in your lifetime? What's the biggest risks you've taken in your life? How'd you do it? Why'd you do it? Was it a sure thing or just a hunch that it was going to work out? Or did God put something onto your heart that said, man, I want you to do this? Yeah. You see, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we don't risk big enough for God. I talked about this a while back, but I dug into it a little deeper. There was this guy who set the world record for the highest jump from a plane without a parachute on. And that's crazy. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's crazy because he jumped out of a plane with no parachute at 25,000 feet. That's a long ways up. He fell for over 2 minutes. And he landed perfectly into a 100 by 100 net suspended between four cranes. So imagine that. About the width of the sanctuary, and then expand it that way. That's 100 by 100. That's pretty big, right? That's a pretty good sized net. Except when you're at 25,000 feet and you're looking down at that and it's a postage stamp and you need GPS to guide you to the spot. I'm trying to figure out how that would work. Go 1,500 feet and turn left. You know, how do you? It showed the perspective from the plane door. He was here and he looked out and there were fields after fields after fields after fields. And there was a little red arrow that they put on there afterwards, of course, that said, net is over here. And it looked like it was miles away. But he had to jump out of that plane, and he had to guide himself all the way down, and he landed perfectly in the middle of that net. Anybody else that crazy? There's a couple of you. Josh, your cape's going to get caught on the plane on the way out the door, man. It ain't going to happen. You should listen to Edna. Cape's no good. You know, here's the crazy thing. That net looks so big when you're standing underneath it, looking up, wondering, how's he going to do it? And it looks so small when you're standing in the plane door. How could he be so confident? How could he do it? Well, I read and it said, he had 1,800 other times he jumped out the plane with a parachute on. You know what? Before you do something huge for God, he's going to ask you to do the simple things over and over and over again until you get exceedingly proficient at what you do so you can do it second nature. You don't even have to think. You just trust and go and do. And in this day and age, he needs people who are going to be willing to risk and jump out the door of the plane whenever he says. And if he throws a parachute out after us, great. If he doesn't, he says, just find the landing zone. I'll be waiting for you there. Are you going to be willing to risk it all? You see, sometimes if we don't risk anything, nothing happens. We don't get hurt. Nothing ventured, nothing lost, right? No. The saying is nothing ventured, nothing gained. Nothing risked, nothing gained. But we could fail. You're right. And what happens when you fail? You learn how to adjust your course so you don't fail again. But if you keep failing over and over in the same spot, you're not learning what you need to do. You need to learn something important so you can not fail, but be successful, especially when God's calling you to do something. Failure is not fatal. It is one of the best teachers in life because it's exceedingly persistent. And you know what's amazing is sometimes you get a surprise outcome along the way by simply doing what God desires of you. No, I'm gonna tell you that there are things that God says and pushes and shoves that sometimes we do and we're successful at, and sometimes we hear it and we acknowledge it, but we don't do it, and sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. But guess what? We're still standing. You know, it was interesting. I still remember. How many of you guys remember Kmart? Anybody? Kmart was the home of the Blue Light Special and layaway programs. Remember? That was the first credit card getting us ready. Oh, man. I remember standing at the counter at 13 years old convincing my dad of something. Dad, I want you to know that there will come a day when computers will control absolutely everything. You need to buy me this Commodore 64 so I can be prepared for the future. And I convinced him to buy me that stupid Commodore 64, but I was so dumb I couldn't even figure out how to make that thing work. And so I still need help to use my computer in there. You know, 40 years ago, I stood there and told him about today. But did I invest in any computer companies or anything? Was I smart enough to buy Apple at a dollar? I've bought an Apple at $1.06, but not, you know, not the Apple at $1.06. I didn't invest $1,000 and become a multimillionaire with Bill Gates. I knew computers would rule the roost. Matter of fact, it destroyed his job because he was a tool and die maker, and he did everything old school with blueprints and rulers, and he laid it all out and hand machined everything. He goes, son, they will never replace me. Machines controlled by computers replaced him. In 2004, I was working in the RV industry, and I was making some pretty good money. It was great. It was making like $45 an hour and having a good old time. And I'm working, and I looked, and I said, looked at the people around me. I said, I want you to know that in 3 to 5 years, this was 2004, there will come an economic downturn that's going to rival 1929. It'll be like the Great Depression all over again. You're crazy, they said. Maybe. Does anybody remember 2008 very well? You know what? I knew it was coming, but I didn't pay off my house. I didn't sock money away, and I was scrambling like the rest of y'all. I remember going with a friend, and we went and we looked at some guitars, he and I. I didn't know what I was looking at, and I went in, and there were two guitars a friend of mine had for sale, and I looked, and he goes, my buddy goes, you buy one, I'll buy the other. I bought that one, and he bought the other one for the same money. He went home and listed his on eBay. Remember eBay, anybody? And bought it for $400, listed it that night, and within 5 minutes, someone paid him $1,800. I'm the guy who found him the guitar. He didn't even give me anything. He didn't even say thank you. No tip, no nothing. I could have had the $1,800 guitar. Instead, I got that. We all know things, and we don't risk, and we fail. But you ever wondered who has been hurt or who missed out because you lack the faith and trust in God to move into incredible chaos, into that place of risk that God placed before you? Sometimes our inaction and our choosing not to risk hurts other people. But here's the incredible thing. You and I can always trust God just like Mama did. He always loves us, and He always wants the best for us. He's always providing for us. He's always saying, this is the way, walk in it, do it. And He doesn't ask us all to risk the same things, but He always asks us to risk something. I remember And I told you, three failures, three quick successes. Decatur Golf Course. Back when I played golf, Scott looked up. He heard golf. I was on the fifth tee at the Decatur Golf Course, and I'm getting ready to tee off the, and I'm like, Jared, you know what? You got the personality and the ability. You could be a great youth pastor and make a difference. You could do this with kids every day for the rest of your life. And, I shanked it and chased the ball around the golf course. And he chased that dream. And he's a director of an international youth ministry today. Chris Steele. Heading down alcohol and drugs and partying. And I'm in my garage working, and he comes over. I'm working away, and I said, Chris, you got a choice to make. Turn around and come back to Jesus and become the man that God wants you to be, or go down that path and lose everything. Incredible man of God today. A young girl named April walked into youth group one day when I was still in youth group, and hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I'm like, what's going on? And I looked over at her, and I'm like, huh. And God just whispers a little whisper. About 6 months later, I was talking with her, and I said, I don't know who's hurting you. I can't tell if it's your dad or your uncle, but somebody has their hand in the cookie jar, and I don't know which one it is yet, but I'll figure it out. You know, she cussed me out and told me I was crazy. And a few days later, she walked into the youth pastor's office and said, we don't know how Vince knew, but he knows. And she goes, he says, what? What does Vince know? Because nobody thinks I know anything. And she goes, Vince knows. We didn't even know. And they said, Dad's been abusing us sexually for years. And he told me, if I went along with it, he wouldn't abuse my sister, and he told her the same thing, so we didn't even know it was happening to each other. We thought it was just happening to just me. And they went in and told the youth pastor, and the youth pastor was like, how do you do that? I said, I don't know. God just says something, and then I open my big mouth. You know, it's just natural for me. And he goes, the father has been arrested. He's pled guilty, and he's going to prison. And I was like, huh? Boy, that's going to make a mess of that family, isn't it? And God goes, the dad already did. You just helped save him. I could have kept my mouth shut. Not got threatened to be beat up by her boyfriend. But lo and behold, sometimes God asks us to step out and risk everything, just like Mama did. Basically, going to use my, remember, baby boy in the river, the murderer, oh, you forgot that part of the story, becomes the great deliverer, Moses. You know what? God might be starting off really small with something in your life, but he's going to do something really, really big. You just have to hang on, just like that farmer that planted the seed, and it got cold, and it frosted, and it rained, and it's drowning, and everything else, and yet this little seed's growing. You got to have the faith that you're going to get there, that God's going to get you there. But just pray that he will ask you to do something so big and so risky that you can't accomplish it on your own. Because then you'll know what it's like to jump out the plane. And all you know is, go there, because that's where the net is, and that's where I'll be waiting. And you'll know something incredible. You'll know what it's like to live in the palm of God's nail-scarred hands. And he'll even let you stick your finger in it. And it's okay. Because that's the best place to be. So at this time, we're going to invite the worship team to come, and I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you. That by faith and trust in you and repetition, we can learn what it means to trust you with everything. Risk it all, because it's all yours, it's all from you, and if we lose big, you're bigger. And if it requires us to jump out the door of a plane with no landing zone in sight, and all we've got is, this is the way, go this way, may we be bold enough to do so. May we be bold enough like Peter to open our big mouths, because you tell us to. And may we do it because you are our God and you've called us to do so. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Let's stand.
This is my desire. You alone, every breath that I
God, we thank you so much that you have loved us. You have saved us. You have sent us into this world to risk it all. And so, Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would make us bold enough to trust you and take the leap of faith that only we can because of you and what you've done. And Lord, may we just follow you to the landing zone and see you do incredible things as you change the world forever into the image that you desire, that everyone